For decades, Hawaii has had some of the strictest animal quarantine rules in place in an effort to keep the island's rabies-free. But the rules are relaxing, with restrictions being front-loaded, reducing quarantine time. State veterinarian Dr. Raquel Wong explains what's being proposed.
The main change, significant change in this group, is going to be, number one, we are changing the pre-entry requirements, waiting periods that have been existent since about 2003 for the direct airport release program, 5-day or less program. And that change basically is to change that timing requirement. Previously, it had to be done, at least the blood test, which is a rabies titer test, was done 120 days prior to the dog or cat's entry into the state. And so that's going to be reduced down to a 30-day lead time. The most current rabies vaccination is currently 90 days prior to the entry, and now that will be reduced down to 30 days as well. So you can see there is a timing difference, which can make it much more flexible for owners who are, you know, trying to travel with their pets.
What the change?
Well, we've looked at the data. So a little bit goes back to the history of the disease control method, which is quarantine. And so from 1911, when it started, to about 1997, when the first modified program came into existence, there was no change. It was just the 120-day confinement. In 1997, there was a modified program, which led to a 30-day confinement with some pre-loading, pre-entry requirements that were fulfilled. After looking at that data, they reduced it down even further and said we can front load even further. And now we have 120 days prior to entry into the state with these pre-entry requirements and then no confinement and inspection and the direct release to the airport. And that was in 2003. So this is just an evolution, the next evolution, which is looking at that data, being able to say, look, it doesn't significantly increase the introduction of the disease. So we're going to reduce down those wait times and everything should be fine.
Right. So basically then the science is saying it's okay. We can still be rabies free, but then make it easier on the pet owner.
Correct.
And then you also are modifying language for service animals. Explain that.
So the language is basically we're changing sort of the description that we use. So in our rules, we refer to service dogs. So we're just modifying, changing that from service dog to service animal to be more in line with the ADA rule. However, the actual rules still refer to service dogs.
Right, but the time doesn't change at all.
No, there's no change for the modified program that for service dogs.
And that is shorter than for a regular dog.
Yes, service dogs have a more flexible program.
Shorter time.
Yes.
And that's just because what they need to be with their
the understanding,
owner.
Yes, it's because they with their user, yes.
Okay. And so let's just, I guess, step back because we really did have very strict quarantine rules before, and we were hearing lots of criticism about that because a lot of pet owners thought it was a real hardship, you know, sending their animals here and then they have to be quarantined at the facility in Halawa for such a long time. And so what prompted that change?
I mean, part of it was that, you know, is that quarantine is a long recognized disease control method, you know, that we use that in other types of diseases to ensure that the disease is not going to be introduced to your naive population, and that's basically what a quarantine is. So that was an acceptable practice, or it is an acceptable practice. However, that sort of prompted the change. I mean, is the fact that when you look at the date, at the risk, basically we're looking at the risk of how likely this virus is to be introduced in a vaccinated, in a well-vaccinated dog or cat. And when you look at that and examine that, you can see that the risk is, you know, the same, if not lower in a vaccinated animal versus an unvaccinated animal. So therefore the need for quarantine, which is a way of isolating that particular unvaccinated population, is not as necessary. And so therefore, by meeting those pre-entry requirements, you're going to, the owner can, or the animal can prove that it is protected against any potential exposure to the virus and will not transmit the virus if it is exposed.
And I imagine then this also is a plus for the state because we don't have to have such huge facilities, kennels, to quarantine a lot of these animals.
Yes, that is correct.
And our facility is aging and in Halawa.
Yes, yes. It's a large facility, or it is a large facility, and at one point we were housing, you know, up to 800 animals back in the late 90s, mid-90s, and since then the population has been reduced probably to about half, if not a third of that. And so we suspect that with the continued, relaxing of the pre-entry requirements, more dogs and cats will be able to qualify for the inspection at the airport and release to their owners. And then our population that are housed at the station will start to drop as well.
Have we ever had a rabies case here?
Not through the quarantine system. There has been reports, if I remember correctly, there was a dog that had transited through Hawaii maybe around the mid-70s or so, that was a military animal that came from Asia. When it arrived in the U.S. mainland, the disease developed at that time, but it had been in Hawaii for a short period of time prior to going to the mainland.
Okay, but the exposure to other animals was minimal, I would imagine.
Yes, yes.
And then any other cases of rabies? I don't know, were there areas where it's still pretty prevalent in other parts of the globe?
Yes. So actually, worldwide, rabies is still a significant disease. They report about 55,000 humans. And that's the real thing to remember about the disease itself, is that the true danger of the rabies virus is its impact to the human population. And so globally, in areas such as Africa and Asia, there's still a high incidence of human rabies as a result of exposure to rabid animals, the most likely species being dogs, usually through dog bites. So that's an important reason why we want to hang on to sort of this preventative inspection process to make sure that, you know, these animals are able to prove that they are free from disease prior to entry.
And it's kind of painful, isn't it?
Yes.
For the treatment?
Yes. The treatment is painful and the disease itself is painful. So rabies is a progressive neurologic disease that is fatal in mammals. And all mammals can be affected by the virus. So it causes, you know, it's neurologic, so it causes central nervous system problems and eventually seizures and death.
Is it always fatal, or is there
In animals, it's always fatal. I believe in some humans, they have attempted. Once they become clinical, the chances of survival are very low. But if it is caught before the human becomes clinical, then there is post-exposure prophylaxis that can be taken so that it'll prevent the full clinical disease and then survival.
So if you're then traveling to places where this could be an issue in Asia or Africa, it just pays to be mindful.
Yes, you want to talk to your physician very much, especially if you're going to be visiting those areas where rabies is endemic, and talk to your physician about getting vaccinated before going.
Right, because I know there are monkeys out in the wild where there have been issues, you know, with those cases.
Sure, sure. I'm sure monkeys, bats, on the U.S. mainland, any type of wildlife is a suspect, especially the skunks, raccoons, and the bats. Those are the big three on the continental U.S. And then in Asia, you're going to have other types of species that get exposed as well. So, yes.
We recently had a skunk turn up unexpectedly here.
Yes.
Did we check for rabies?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And that one was negative.
Okay, and what about wallabies? I know we've got those wallabies, but is that an issue in Australia where they're from?
Not that I'm aware of, in Australia I'm from. Australia also is rabies-free, like Hawaii, and they have an actually more strict import process for the dogs and cats that are coming into their country. So, and they are very serious about that process. But the wallabies that are here are, because we're Hawaiian, you know, they have been living here their entire lives, the likelihood that they had it was very, very low. But, So that's a good thing, is that we don't have to necessarily worry about the disease presence in our wildlife, and that really we don't think about that particular aspect of being outside and being outdoors and what potentially we could expose to and what we couldn't be exposed to. The other thing I think I'd wanted to highlight is that the inspection process is not only important to ensure that the animals that are entering are free from disease, but the other thing that sometimes we forget about are exotic parasites. Primarily, I'm talking about ticks. So Hawaii enjoys the fact that we only really have two species of ticks that are reported. The first is the brown dog tick, and the second is a spinous ear tick, which is seen in large animals. We don't have things like the deer tick, which carries Lyme disease in humans or can transmit it to humans and dogs, and there are other types of dog ticks that we do not have here. So going through that inspection process and visually examining these dogs and cats that enter, the staff is able to look for these types of ticks and then remove them. And also it's required that the animals are treated for ticks prior to entry into the state. So just another thing that we are looking for in this process.
Not just the rabies, but also other hitchhikers.
Yes, other types of hitchhikers as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
That was State Veterinarian Dr. Raquel Wong. I'm Catherine Cruz, and this is The Conversation.